The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the Saints win 12-9. 12-9. It is the lowest winning total the Saints have put up in 20 years. If you're going to hold the Saints to 12 points, right, you should win the game. But Carolina decided, how can we possibly lose this? Let's count the ways. Let's have a big fumble, or let's have a quarterback that can't throw. And there was multiple chances for the Carolina Panthers to win this game, and in the end, they couldn't do it. And they blew a really good, strong defensive effort that contained the Saints, and again, held this team that was averaging 34 points a game to 12 points. All right, listen, the narrative here is defense coming back into the NFL? Because when you look at the broader spectrum of it all, the Los Angeles Rams are struggling. Now the Saints aren't putting up as many points as they used to. Look, when the Saints have home field advantage through the NFC, which they're going to get with a win next week against Pittsburgh likely, the game is going to be in Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and they're going to put up points. They're going to put up points in the postseason. That's what they're doing at home. Right? A game outdoors on the road, hostile environment, a team that's playing for its playoff life. Yeah, you're going to get a stronger defensive effort, and that's what the Carolina Panthers did. But on the flip side of it all, here was the thing about last night's game that was interesting to me. Because unless you've seen the Saints and watched the Saints on a regular basis, this was one of the best defensive efforts I've seen New Orleans put together ever. And again, look, you can point to Carolina, and again, Cam Newton has a bad shoulder, and it was clear. He's not throwing the ball very far downfield. He only averaged about 4.5 yards per completion last night. He missed open guys. They had to call the game very conservatively. They couldn't move it downfield as much as they wanted to because of Cam Newton's shoulder. That's the limitation that you have. And I've always had this line when it comes to backup quarterbacks, right? What percentage of your starter is still 100% better than your backup? Look, they weren't going to use a backup. Cam Newton could still play the position under the guise of the offensive play calling that they had. It's just that when push came to shove, that shoulder did not look very good for Cam Newton last night. Carolina's a wreck. I agree with one of the broadcasters last night. I think it was Booger McFarland. Maybe it was Jason Witten. I can't remember. I wasn't paying that much of attention. But I did hear it enough to acknowledge it, that the Panthers don't deserve any playoff run losing a game like that. You hold the Saints to 12 points at home, you win the game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. No excuse necessary.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so last night, Monday Night Football wrapped up Week 15 in the NFL. 2 weeks to go before we head to the postseason. Still a lot of questions that need to be answered. Carolina had an outside chance of making a run towards the playoffs with a win last night. Had they won that game, they would have been 7-7, kind of in the mix, still on the outside looking in. But you know what? They would still have been in pursuit of the sixth seed in the NFC. Now, they haven't been eliminated, but 6-8 is, it's like 1,000 to 1. I mean, they're not going to get in. But they still haven't technically been eliminated last night. You could see the frustration on the Panthers last night when they walked away. Again, hold the Saints to 12 points. You're supposed to win the game. And yet, their offense was pretty much anemic. The defense did a fantastic job last night. Really fantastic last night. And again, you put an effort like that defensively, you're hoping, or at least, that your offense responds. But they just couldn't do anything. They score a touchdown, and then they get what was really cool, because you don't get to see it very often, a return of a 2-point conversion back for a safety. And listen, the Panthers had a chance. Like, they get the safety, and then they get the ball back, and they still couldn't find they couldn't move the ball downfield for a field goal or anything. Then they get the ball on a touchback after a fumble through the end zone, and then they still couldn't do anything with the ball once they had it back. And a lot of it has to do with Cam Newton. And Ron Rivera is in a really tricky position right now because, like I said earlier, technically, they're not out of the playoff race at 6-8. It's a mile, and don't get me wrong, it is a mile and a half for them to even make it, even further than that probably, to make the playoffs. They need so much help, it's not even worth writing down all the steps. But because they're not technically out of it, you still have to go into every single game going at it with put the best team forward that you possibly can. But what they really need to do is they really need to rest Cam Newton. He's the future, right? I mean, he's the quarterback. He's a former MVP. He's the guy that they're going to need years down the road. He's already had shoulder surgery. He's going to probably have another shoulder surgery because of this injury. So you have to make sure with the trainers and the doctors that any other damage that comes his way against the Falcons and the Saints again, if indeed he's going to play Cam Newton in the final game of the year, he's probably not, because by the time they play Atlanta, they'll probably be eliminated. But is there any way that shoulder can be further damaged to the point where even surgery brings it back to somewhat of a damaging state, right? It doesn't fully recover. Anything like that. Anything medical that could mean that Cam Newton is not going to be 100% by the time we roll around to next season. That's what he's got to think about. But he also can't give up. He can't give up on the season, even if it's a mile away, even if the playoffs are a mile away. His job is to put the best product he possibly can on the field and pursue a playoff, even if it's a daunting task. That's what he has to do. So we can't bench Newton in a game where the Panthers need to win to have any chance of making the playoffs, even if it's not plausible. He can't just bench Newton and give up. So he has to wait till he's technically eliminated from this if he wants to make a move on the quarterback and say, that's it, shut him down, that's it. So it's a tough position to be in, because you can tell watching the game last night that Newton can't throw. He can't throw. He was missing guys wide open that were in front of him. He was missing throws he normally makes. And that was the problem with the offense last night. And they couldn't run the ball because the Saints defense was fantastic, and they couldn't really do anything because the Saints defense was fantastic. So it's got to be frustrating this morning in Charlotte, because even if the playoffs are far away and really hard, even if they were at 7-7 and they still needed some help and it seemed like a difficult task, that would have been a step in the right direction had they beaten New Orleans last night. It would have been at least a step in a better situation than at 6-8. And then to say, look, if we're going to go into this game and these are the things we're going to do defensively, we're going to get to Drew Brees, we're going to be able to create some turnovers, to be able to, you know, slow down the run. We're going to hold Michael Thomas to 40-something yards receiving. We're going to do all of these things, and yet, at the end of the night, the offense is not going to be able to do anything, and we're going to lose 12-9 against the New Orleans Saints. And again, that was a team, New Orleans, 34 points per game. They were coming in averaging. But over the last couple of weeks, the three games that they've played since blowing out the Falcons 31-17, A loss to Dallas, in which they were held to 10 points. A game in on the road at Tampa, which they had to come back in the second half to win. They were completely shut down in the first half. That's a game the Buccaneers felt like they blew. I mean, they blew against a team that's 12-2, that they blew in a game against the Saints. And then this game against Carolina last night, where, again, it's not pretty. It's not the normal way they do business. It's not the normal way they look offensively. But yet still in the end, they get it done and they get the job done. They kick a couple of field goals. They get a Alvin Kamara touchdown. And that's what they need. And that's all they need.
Yeah, you almost get the feeling that these front runners just don't want it.
Yeah, well, it's now making a shift, right? I mean, now we're starting to bring up defense again, right? It's quick.
Exactly.
We are so into the trend of the moment, and that's the thing that's been plaguing this season so far. The trend of the moment has been, oh my God, it's all arena football now. Look at the way the offenses are going. You're not going to be able to slow these teams down. They're all putting up 50 points per game, and then what happened? Whoop! We go back to defensive football, and defenses are now starting to make their presence felt. Now, I'm not. Again, I go back to what I said at the start of the show. I think when this team is at home, they put up points, and they put up a lot of points. And I think if the road to the Super Bowl is going to go through New Orleans, then you better have a team that can at least keep up with the Saints offensively. I don't know if you're a Bears team with Mitchell Trubisky go to the Superdome and use your defense to slow down New Orleans. Again, if that game was reversed and it was at Soldier Field, absolutely, right? You reverse that. But unless you've got an offense that could put points on the board, that's what they're going to do at the Dome, and that's what they're going to do indoors, especially amongst their crowd. So this was a 3-game road trip for the Saints. Let's not forget that. I mean, this was a tough stretch. I got to be honest with you. I didn't know that it was one of the things you kind of knew but didn't put into the forefront of your mind.
You didn't think about it.
Right? Like last night when they brought it up that the Saints had been on the road for 3 straight weeks, I went, oh yeah, they have. That's a weird way the NFL does their schedule for late in the season for a team.
And it was against tough teams. I'm not going to say the Buccaneers are a tough team, but the conditions for that game were tough. And it's something that the Saints aren't used to playing. They're not an outdoor. I mean, like you said earlier, you put them in a dome, they're almost unbeatable, especially
exactly.
In their house.
Yeah. I mean, they've been putting up such incredible numbers at home. In these games, and again, and in any dome, actually, when they beat, they put up 43 against the Falcons in the dome. I mean, they can put up some numbers. They put up 30 against the Vikings indoors. I mean, they can put up some numbers. But these last couple of weeks, defenses have really slowed them down. I would not look at this latest trend and say, okay, something's wrong with the Saints. I would look at the Rams and figure what is going on there. Because Jared Goff is regressing, and that's not a good sign for them to say that Jared Goff, because he's had 7 interceptions in his last, 2 games or 3 games? And I'm nervous about that if I'm a Rams fan. He's got 7 over the last 3, at 4 against the Bears and 2 against the Eagles and 1 against Detroit. That's a Rams team that has to figure, because Gurley is day-to-day, and that's an offense that's got to figure its mojo out. And maybe with the getting a first-round bye, things slow down, and they can heal up and figure it out. But think about these top teams. As you said, everybody was talking about how the offenses were starting to take over the league. This is what the league wants. This is where the rules are benefiting offenses. And now you're seeing defenses come to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the 3 teams that we've been talking about all season long: Chiefs, Rams, Saints, and those are the 3 teams who are like, they're changing the culture. We're in Big 12 football with these 3 teams, and that's what we were wanting. We were wanting more scoring, more action, putting up points. I mean, we were talking, it almost feels like last week, that Pat Mahomes was going to go for 57 touchdowns and get free catch-up forever.
Exactly.
But now you start to see the shift that, these teams, I mean, the Chiefs are still putting up points, but the Saints, the Rams, they're struggling now to put up points. And I'm not sure what the issue might be. It might be teams figuring out maybe. I mean, I have a conspiracy theory about the Rams that, they're not using Todd Gurley enough as much as they were at the beginning of the season. So maybe it's Sean McVay's way of saying, I'm going to kind of rest you in the games and get you geared up for playoffs. I really don't know.
I don't know. I would believe that if the Rams didn't still have something to play for. They have to get these games at home. You can going to New Orleans is really difficult during the regular season, but when they have home playoff games, that place is
loud.
Yeah, that's like a jet engine decibel level in terms of the crowd. You got to be able, you know, you better be really confident if you're making those kind of moves during the regular season when you're still fighting for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You better be really confident that you can go on the road in an NFC championship setting and beat the Saints at their place. Or maybe you're just hoping you can win games in that manner, and then the Saints will find a way to lose games and you won't have to worry about it.
Hey, but it almost worked.
And it almost worked.
It almost worked.
Because, again, last night, it was weird last night watching the game because at one point I thought, okay, Carolina is going to find a way to win this game, right? And then throughout the game, I'm like, no, they're not. They're not going to find a way to win this game. They're not doing anything to show they can win this game. And the defense, when your defensive unit is doing what it's got to sting for the offense to know that you have not done everything you possibly can to give your defense a break.
Yeah,
your defense a chance.
We haven't really given Panthers defense any credit at all because they really haven't done anything. But last night, I mean, they slowed this juggernaut of an offense down, and you're sitting there going, like, God, they're giving you every opportunity. I mean, hell, they scored 2 points last night on a pick two. Yeah, is that what you call those?
Yeah, it's a pick two. I know my wife was in the room at the time, and she thought that was really cool, right? Like, it was a touchdown, and I said, actually, that's 2 points. And she just looked at the TV and went, that's a long way to run for 2 points. I go, I know, right?
Smart woman right there.
I know. And I said, yeah, it's just 2 points. And I tried to explain her to her, and then she's like, shut up, I don't care. And she left.
Exactly.
Then she went back upstairs and watched Hallmark or whatever it is she was doing. But it was just, Luke Kuechly makes a tackle on Kamara that is like he just dives and grabs his and just whips him down to the ground.
Yeah,
and Kamara was ready to go into like mock speed, and Kuechly just comes right in, dives, grabs his ankle, plops him down to the ground.
Tell me that kid's not one of the more dangerous running backs in the league right now.
I know.
Once he gets past that line, that fifth gear he has, I mean, it literally feels like he goes from second to fifth.
Exactly. And that's what they were saying last night. They said, if Kuechly doesn't make this tackle,
he's gone.
There's nobody who's going to make this tackle. Like he was just getting enough momentum to start taking off down the field, and Kuechly just grabs the ankle and takes him down. And that's saving. That's putting your team again in position to try to do something and win the game.
I mean, on that same drive, he almost broke one if he hadn't tripped.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that one too. It was like he just has this fifth gear that you're just like, man, dude, this guy's something special. We're going to be talking about him for years and years.
All right. We're going to go over the playoff picture coming up next because, again, it's now that week 15 is in the books. Who's alive? Who's out? Who's still got a breathing room? 800-777-2907. You want to join into the conversation? It is up on Twitter as well at Tony D Radio. And you can also hit Ron at Ron Culver. And that is Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so now that week 15 is in the books, it's time to look ahead to the playoff picture.
Go Browns!
Go Browns! Still 6-7-1, baby. God, these ties. These ties stink. Can you imagine if the Browns had beaten the Steelers and they were 7-7? And we'd be in this. We'd be like, okay, all right, this is legit. That's that half a game just throws me off.
Well,
can't take it.
I absolutely love the fact that for the Browns to make the playoffs, they would need a team to tie.
Yeah, they need a team to tie. What's the game we were saying that needs to be the tie?
Titans Colts.
It's the Titans Colts at the end of the year. The Titans Colts have to play to a tie.
Of the season.
Imagine if that.
I mean, I feel this way that the sixth seed in both the AFC and the NFC will come down the final weekend.
I got a feeling
I just,
too because
I just don't feel like it's going to get decided next week.
Listen, I don't have I guess I could spend a whole afternoon coming up with every playoff scenario for everybody. I'm not going to because they can do it for me. But here's the thing. It it's still surprising. Like after last night, I'm looking at the NFC picture. Like last night when they told me that Carolina was still technically alive, I went, that can't be right. I was like, that can't be right. And sure enough, it is. They are 9. And when you list them all from 1 to 16 in the NFC, they are 9th at 6-8, and they are still technically alive for a wild card berth. Let me count them. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 teams ahead of them, all with a better record than them. So it's not like Carolina is tied with 3 other teams at 6-8. They are 6-8 and still alive in this playoff race. Again, need miracles to happen, need a whole bunch of things to fall apart, a disaster, apocalypse on the next level. However, they're not mathematically eliminated. They're not the Falcons, right? I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. I just don't get it. I don't.
It's really
like, what does it take to get eliminated from the playoffs?
Been a weird, weird season. Because then even the teams that are eliminated that you know have nothing to play for except for a draft pick, say like a team like the Niners, are winning games that they shouldn't be winning.
Yeah, I saw a story yesterday that a bettor lost over $500,000 betting on the Seahawks.
I believe it.
He had 2 bets on the Seahawks. He had 1 bet, and then the something moved, the money line moved, and he put more money down on a second bet, and he lost both of them. And he lost close to $600,000 on 2 bets on the Seahawks to win straight up.
I mean, you look at it on paper, you have 1 team that's playing for a draft pick. The other team is currently the 5th seed in the NFC playoff race.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And we can sit here and make an argument that, you know what, if the chips fall the right way, the Panthers, it would probably be impossible, maybe mathematically impossible, but, you know, say everything falls the right way, the Panthers could be the 5th seed, the Seahawks could be out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how crazy this NFL season has been.
And as crazy as the Carolina Panthers at 6-8 last night, being said at the end of the broadcast that they're not technically eliminated from the playoffs, the same exact thing was said on Saturday night when the Denver Broncos walked off their stadium field a loser at 6-8, that they still weren't technically eliminated from the postseason.
They are now.
Yeah, they are now.
They
right?
are now.
They officially eliminated?
They're officially eliminated.
Okay. How did that happen?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you.
The NFC teams played. Maybe it's so. But they still said that they were 6-8.
Yeah.
Still technically alive. And they're 11. And the Browns need a tie. I mean, it's confusing.
the fact that the Browns are still in it is amazing.
If the NFL eliminated ties, I mean, how much of this would be polished up better?
It would be amazing.
Because you'd have to throw in the tie every time. Oh, this team has to tie. Now let's just pretend for a second that it comes down to the Colts and the Titans, right? Everything plays out and the Colts and the Titans are playing and Cleveland's watching it and it does go into overtime and Colts and the Titans, I would assume then at that point that a tie for either team, if that game ends in a tie, both teams would be eliminated then.
Right.
So the Browns would be on the outside looking in. We're playing for 1 wild card spot. So neither team would play for that tie. So like if you score a field goal and you give the ball back to the other team, let's say it's the Titans, they're trailing by 3 in overtime after the Colts kick a field goal on their opening possession. So the Titans are driving down the field. If it gets close to the end, the Titans have to go for the touchdown, right? They'd have to. So you'd have to play to like, hey, somebody's winning this or losing this. Or the Colts kick a field goal, the Titans come down, there's still plenty of time on the clock, they kick a field goal, and they go, yeah, you know what? All right, we'll better when we get the ball. Let's see if we can get the ball back. And the Colts drive down a little bit, eat up some time, turn the ball over, the Titans get the ball, eat up some time, and miss a field goal, whoops, it ends in a tie, and both of them lose.
Yeah, but I mean,
what a depressing way to end a season.
Before we even get to that point, I mean, the Colts and Titans both need to lose this weekend, and the Dolphins still need to lose one of their next 2 games.
And the Dolphins are playing, let me look it up, Jags and Bills. Yikes. They're probably going to win both of them.
They should, but I mean, the Jaguars.
They don't have Frank Gore anymore.
I look at the Jags and say, you know what? Hey, they're playing they're in good draft pick position, and this is a team that would probably screw that up.
Here's another weird situation in the AFC for you. The Texans are 10-4. They have a 2-game lead over the Colts and the Titans. Yet, not only Have they not clinched the AFC South? They have not even clinched a playoff berth yet at 10-4.
It's insane.
It is so at 10-4 in the AFC, at 10-4, you are still not locked into the postseason. At 6-8 in the NFC, you're still are alive in the postseason. In the postseason race, albeit a miracle.
Make it so you know that an 8-8 team can make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yes, that's right. That's right. An 8-8 team can make the playoffs in the NFC, and the Browns could be 8-7-1 and make the playoffs, barring a miracle. That's so. It's just weird. It's. I'm sorry. It's just. It's straight. It's whoever designed this was brilliant, because the way it just focuses on allowing so many teams to have these variables thrown into place it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I love the fact, though, that a 10-4 team has not clinched a playoff berth yet.
Yeah, I know. A 10-4 team. It's one thing if you say, okay, they've clinched a playoff berth. We just don't know what seed they're going to be in.
Right.
They haven't technically won the division, but they'll be somewhere in the top six. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. 10-6 for the Texans? They could be out. They could be out. Who knows? Who knows? It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. You know what? You all try to figure this thing out. I give up. I'm done. And it probably won't even be clearer next week when we lock it. Hopefully it will. It might even be more messed up.
All of a sudden
hopefully bunch of X's will start appearing on people's names.
Right, well, all of a sudden we'll find a way that the Falcons are still in it.
Right. At 5-9. SB Nation AM.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, as we roll along again. Now that week 15 in the NFL is in the books, boy, it didn't take long. 24 hours after the Steelers had beaten New England, boy, all sorts of people wanted to chime in on the Patriots. And the demise, and the anticipated demise of the Patriots. I've been warning you, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. Because, again, we don't know, as I brought up earlier, we don't know the seeding yet. Look, the Houston Texans have, you know, winnable games. They're going up against the Eagles, which are not the same Eagles team as last year. And they'll close out with Jacksonville. If the Houston Texans win out, they'll win. Not only they'll win the AFC South, but they'll secure the second seed in the AFC. And that comes with a first round bye and home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. But that could easily be the Patriots, too. Now, the Patriots are 8-5 right now? Or what is it? 7-5? What is the record?
They're 9-5.
9-5. I'm sorry. 9-5. All five of their losses have come on the road. And if people have been breaking down the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you know, era together, what they've started to look at is the years that the Patriots, for whatever reason, you know, did not secure one of the top two seeds in the AFC, they did not go to the Super Bowl. In fact, you know, I think they've had a couple of road wins in the playoffs, but not very many. I mean, I think they beat the Chargers in San Diego one year, but all their trips to Denver ended up in losses. You know, they're not a good road team in the postseason because they didn't really have to be a road team in the playoffs. And look, the Patriots playing in AFC title games, and there's a huge, I mean, great run of playing in the AFC championship. But it's really because they've been able to secure a first-round bye, get that home game, and that's all you're asking them to do is win a home game. And win a home game against a team that played the previous week and when they didn't have to. And so the odds are in their favor that they're going to win at home in a cold Foxborough with a week of rest. And then that automatically puts them in the AFC title game. And if you do that consistently year in and year out, your odds of going to multiple Super Bowls increase. If you continue to be a top two seed week year in and year out, and all you're doing is waiting for an opponent to come play you that played the week before while you rested and got things organized, that's a very easy task to then go on to play in the AFC title game. Now, once you get to the AFC title game, maybe you got to go on the road to Denver, or maybe you got to be at home against a pretty tough opponent. Whatever it is, that's still very difficult. You know, that's a difficult, so going to Super Bowls is a pretty good accomplishment for this team. But I'd be careful because everybody wants to kind of write off the Patriots now. But if they secure that two seed, they're going to be in the exact same position to play again for the AFC Championship. Now, it is, at that point, then it becomes, okay, can you go to Los Angeles? Can you go to Kansas City if indeed that's how it plays out? Can you go on the road and win that AFC title game? Or maybe you won't have to because maybe those teams get upset. Maybe the number one seed gets upset. Who knows? But I'd be very careful because this team with rest and home field is going to still be dangerous in the playoffs. If they get on the road, all bets are off, right? All bets are off. That's fine. But let's just calm down on the Patriots' demise talk. One of the things that we've been saying, and at least I've been saying for a long time, is when that moment comes where we're all kind of like watching Brady and we're seeing an older person, right? Like we did with Peyton Manning, where we just knew Father Time was winning this battle. I don't know how that's going to look. For Manning, it looked with injuries, right? He just had injuries. He just couldn't heal up fast enough. That final year in Denver, he had a hip injury. He couldn't move. He's not a mobile quarterback, but he still couldn't move. He couldn't throw the ball very well, right? That final year in Denver, he did everything he possibly could in the postseason to avoid losing. He didn't charge out and throw five touchdowns. He just didn't turn the ball over until the Super Bowl. But the reality of it is with Brady, I don't know what that looks like when Father Time wins that battle. I don't know how it's going to look. Is it now where he's throwing the ball in the back of the end zone and he's lobbing it and it gets intercepted near the goal line? Is it when he takes a sack at the end of the first half against the Dolphins that puts him out of field goal range when he admits later there was a stupid play, it was kind of a mind freeze? Are those the kind of things that we're seeing now? Or does Brady bounce back, lead the Patriots to a Super Bowl, and we're not even talking about it again until next season? But I know the reality of it is this. The Patriots are going to have a closer eye on this than Brady is. And that's where the dynamic is going to come between those two forces. Because the Patriots eventually are going to have to say, okay, everything you've done for us is fantastic, but this isn't baseball, right? This isn't you getting an opportunity to play until you say you're done. There's no farewell tour in the NFL. Right? Unless you're a 32-year-old offensive lineman or a 32-year-old defensive back that can still play, and then you say, but I want to do something else, even though I could play five more years. When you're a 41-year-old quarterback, there is no farewell tour. That end comes before you want it to come. And so the Patriots are going to have to be looking at Brady. If this doesn't go their way, if they have to go on the road and he struggles and he doesn't look as good, there's going to be a conversation about when does this end for us as an organization? Not how is it going to end for him as a player and how do we thank him or give him the proper send-off for everything he's done. I grew up in New England. I grew up with Steve Grogan. I grew up with Tony Eason. I grew up with Scott Zolak. I grew up with, I was a little older, but Drew Bledsoe, right? I've seen this organization my whole life. I barely knew Patriot fans going up because everybody in New England that I knew in my town liked the Patriots, but also liked some other team because the Patriots would rarely go to the playoffs. He changed that organization. The idea that they would become a dynasty, a two-decade dynasty, would have been insane if you went in the Wayback Machine to like the early 90s with Rod Rust and Dick McPherson. That one day the Patriots would hold the distinction of being one of the most successful franchises in all of football based on one guy and one quarterback. An insane conversation. And yet they did it. And now Patriot fans, there's a generation of them that are accustomed to only winning. That's all they know. They don't know about going 1-15. They don't know about the struggles of Drew Bledsoe early in his career. They don't know about Bill Parcells walking out on him immediately after a Super Bowl appearance against the Packers in a loss, where he basically flew away and went off to the Jets. They don't remember any of that stuff. They only know Belichick, Brady and wins and paid Super Bowls. That's all they know. I do a little thing on Facebook with my son. I have a picture of him, of me holding my son as a newborn baby, a few months born during the Patriots' first Super Bowl against the Rams. He is now 17, and we still do that pose every time the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, just to show the difference in years between what these two people have accomplished. It's mind-boggling. And we've all been waiting, and we've all been waiting for the moment where this is coming to an end, but we don't know how it's coming to an end. Right? Does it come to an end where Brady goes, Super Bowl win, bye, thanks for everything, see you later? Like John Elway, Peyton Manning? Or does it come to an end where we're having a conversation about Brady like the Giants are having with Eli Manning? Got to find somebody. Can't win with him anymore. Can't play anymore. Can't lead this team to wins anymore.
I almost hope that he does just walk away from the game.
I hope so too, because I don't want that.
Yeah, you don't
want... I don't want that for him.
Who is it? Be like... Wasn't it like Johnny Unitas did that?
Yeah, he played for the Chargers.
Yeah, and he was just a shell of who he used to be, like, you know, the most prolific quarterback the game had ever seen, and just written off, cast away.
There was a story about Johnny Unitas. He was with the Chargers. He didn't really know anybody, and he saw a bunch of guys kind of hanging around smoking a cigarette, and he thought, oh, come over, sit with them. And another guy grabbed him and said, Johnny, you don't want that cigarette. He's like, oh, I got you.
But see, you can't really say the same thing. I mean, I know Joe Montana played, you know, probably past his prime, but he was still effective.
Yeah, led the Chiefs to the playoffs.
And the only reason why he was discarded by the Niners was just because, hey, you know, we have this young kid that we want to bring in. It's kind of like a Brett Favre situation.
Yeah,
Brett Favre
eventually,
was still effective,
right?
But it was just like, no, we need to get this young kid going.
Yeah.
Because if not, we're going to lose him. And that's where I look at the Patriots. Like, now I don't even know who the Patriots have as a good backup.
Yeah, and you don't want to see... This is what happens, though. Like, imagine if the Broncos... Like, just picture the Broncos. Peyton Manning, again, injuries, didn't really looked old, really was a problem. And remember, Brock Osweiler was emerging as a star. Like, we have to remember that. Like, not the Brock Osweiler we know today. But back then, Brock Osweiler was kind of emerging as a star. If you're John Elway, imagine if Peyton Manning said, no, I want to play one more year. The Broncos would have had to release him.
Yep.
They would have had to release him because Elway would have said, no, you can't play it. I got this young kid that won us some games, won us some critical games. And, you know, I'm sorry, but you're throwing balls that are getting picked off. You can't throw it further than 40 yards. I don't know what to tell you, Peyton, but I'm sorry. We can't. And Manning would have bounced or looking for a home. It just wouldn't have looked good. And Brady wants so badly to play in his mid 40s. And if you're the Patriots and you notice that there's a decline, and I'm not saying there is, I don't know if what we're seeing over the last 2 weeks is a decline. I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. Maybe it's just Steelers' great coverage, and maybe it was just a mental freeze when he took the sack. I don't know, right? I don't want to overanalyze what I'm seeing, but let's say the Patriots start noticing this trend. They're ruthless. Bill Belichick is ruthless. You think he's going to give Brady second or third opportunities to go out on a white horse? Of course not.
Yeah, this isn't Major League. This isn't NBA where you have someone like, say, Dwayne Wade, who's doing his tour right now.
Right.
Or
right.
A couple years ago, Derek Jeter was doing his tour, his retirement tour. You don't have that in football. There's no time to say, you know, final season, everyone come out, celebrate Tom Brady. It's your last chance to see him play. You don't get that in football.
Yeah, either. One day you wake up and he's announcing he's done, or the Patriots release
exactly.
him, and that's it. And that's it. And that's it. And that's all you and you have to remember the last time you saw him.
And then you know what's going to happen come playoff time, because you know, even though they haven't clinched yet, they're going to clinch. They're going to make the playoffs. We will start having this conversation. Is this the final game at Gillette Stadium? Yeah, we'll start having those conversations.
Oh, well, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we're going to have start having that talk. And that proves to be a team distraction. And Tom Brady needs a way out. Okay, is it for personal glory or is it going to be for the team now?
And that's...
He could be a distraction. If he decides to come back, and maybe he's effective, but he's going to be a distraction all season long.
And again, and I preface that this segment by saying if the Patriots get a 2 seed, if that's how it ends up for them, all bets are off when we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, but if they are not, they're going to the Super Bowl. So boring.
But if they don't, they're likely one and done. They've lost 5 games on the road this year. 5. They're not playing well on the road. They're not playing well at all, really. I mean, they're not a team right now that's in good shape heading into the play. So tell me again, tune up against the Bills and the Jets, fine. But when you get that first game and you're the AFC East winners and you're hosting either Indianapolis or Baltimore, tell me how that's going to play out. Tell me how that's going to, the Chargers or the Chiefs. How is that going to play out? Right? I doubt that, because I doubt they'll win the East. If they win the East, they'll be better than whatever NFC North team is going to win their division. They'll have a better record than that. But nevertheless, right? Let's say the sixth seed is Baltimore. Really? Like, is anything shown you in the last few weeks with New England capable of beating a Baltimore defense? Or at least make that game close? It's going to be close.
Yeah,
and the Colts, who are looking more complete week in and week out?
I would almost give more respect to Baltimore being able to get by the Patriots, because the way they've been playing lately, they're fearless.
Yeah,
they don't care. And then you have a young quarterback who doesn't – I'm not going to say there isn't a level of respect, but he doesn't care about, you got to respect what Brady has done. He's like, nah, I'm going out there. I'm going to tear things up. I'm making my own name now.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean,
I'm proving that I was a decent last pick in the first round.
Yep, that's right. That's right. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number as we continue to talk about the completion of Week 15 in the NFL on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Last night was leftover night. My kids were all over the place last night, so my wife was like, I got a casserole. You can microwave that. She went out to go do some stuff, and I just made the comment. I'm like, I really want chicken wings. And she was like, you want me to go get you some? And I was so close to saying yes. And then I realized, nah, it's going to end in a bad way. I better not. So I didn't have chicken wings last night. But man, you ever have those cravings where you just can't stop?
Yeah, the male pregnancy cravings.
Oh my God, yeah. Like last night, just chicken wings was just the only thing I wanted. I didn't want the reheated casserole, even though it was good. And I ended up, that's what I ended up having. But I was like, I just wanted wings. And I didn't even care, like teriyaki, honey barbecue, buffalo. I didn't care what they were. I just wanted to pick up a chicken wing and eat it. That's all I wanted. It's just nuts. I don't know what happened. Again, I don't. It's like sometimes I have a craving for a burger, and yep. I have to find a burger joint. I have to find a really good burger joint.
But it's not. Hey, let me run through this fast food place.
No. Yeah, it has burger. To be. Yeah, no. It has, like, especially if they have a burger that has an egg on top.
Ooh.
I love it. I love the egg on top of a burger now. I thought I didn't until somebody challenged me to eat one. They said, trust me, try it. And I was like, all right. And I tried it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. Are you kidding me? This is way too much protein. This is great. No, I seriously was.
I'm mixing chicken and beef.
Man. And I was really surprised, though, because when I said I didn't want them, I thought my wife would end up picking them up. So when she came home, I said, did you get my wings? She goes, no, you said no. I go, yeah, but I didn't really mean no. I kind of meant yes, like you bring them home and force me to eat them. I really had a craving. My God, it's ridiculous.